It's time for 1313 Harbor, the podcast hosted by Jasmine and Michelle.
Welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast, where two adult daughters think that wading in the kiddie end of the pool should be considered an Olympic sport. I'm Jasmine.
And I'm Michelle.
And we're recording live from the Disneyland Hotel, where Michelle and her boyfriend are on a romantic weekend getaway, and I crashed their party.
We are celebrating Mr. Dale's birth.
Yay!
Day.
And we went to, we swam in the pool.
Uh-huh. And waited in the kiddie pool
And they were
section.
Having a romantic time, and I just plopped right in front of them.
We would, like, kiss, and she would come in between us and be like, hey, guys.
Hey, guys, what's up? You blew Dale a kiss, and I grabbed it.
That is true. That did actually happen.
And then we went to Trader Sam's, and I actually had an alcoholic beverage. And we went with a friend of the podcast, Katie Tim. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I thought you didn't drink alcohol. And I'm like, I don't. Like, I just got, you know, I wanted a souvenir mug. And I was like, what drinks make things happen?
Because when you go to Trader Sam's, like, if you order a drink, like, sometimes the volcano will erupt.
Yes! And then, yeah, we saw every effect except one, and it was really fun, and we had a table, and I highly recommend it. Believe the hype.
Yeah, two thumbs up.
And I also had a cup of Dole Whip.
Yeah.
It was delicious, but I didn't get alcohol in the Dole Whip, because that was too much.
But you can alcohol
you
the
can,
Dole Whip,
yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, I had to order it sans alcohol, and I got a souvenir mug, and it's delightful, because I need at least one souvenir mug.
For everywhere she goes.
Everywhere I go.
Denny's.
7-Eleven, my mom's house.
All require souvenir mugs.
We're going to make our own 1313 Harbor souvenir mug, but for every episode.
Oh,
so we'll
boy.
Have 30.
We begin today with breaking news.
So a new Universal theme park is being built in Orlando called Epic Universe. Did you see this, Michelle?
I did.
Yeah, it was everywhere. If you typed in theme park news, like, this is what came up. So, Universal said, Epic Universe will take guests on a journey where beloved stories expand into vibrant lands. Construction has technically already begun. No attractions have been announced yet. And what do you think there will be? So, a lot of people think there'll be, like, a Fantastic Beasts section.
Oh, my God.
Super
I'd
Nintendo
be so
World.
Happy. Oh!
What else would there be? A Minions section.
That'd be so
and
cute.
Others. So, I don't know. It's whatever big Universal properties are.
Yeah, I have no idea. I would love a Ghostbusters section.
Oh, that would be great.
Like, I think a Ghostbusters section would be really
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. I don't know if that would pop. They could be a ride. I don't know if it's popular enough to warrant. It depends how well the next movie is.
Yeah, and there's another movie.
Yeah, they're going to do another one because people had a fit from the last one. So, now they're going to make one. And I think it's, like, the grandchildren of the Ghostbusters because it has kids in it.
Like kids?
Like, it has, like, one of the kids from Stranger Things
oh,
is in
no.
it. So I'm just like, and
I want to see adults fight ghosts.
Yeah.
I want to see kids.
And also, it's like one of those things where if you see it, it's like, is it going to be a political statement if this one does well and the other one didn't? Like, don't make movies with women. Sorry, now we're just getting into this topic. But yeah, it has kids in it. Yeah. What else could there be? There could be a Mr. Wizard.
Finally. Feel like Mr. Wizard has really not been represented properly in pop culture.
There could be a Mr. Rogers section.
I mean, it would be just filled with kindness and
just
respect.
Kindness and taking off sweaters.
And jazz
and,
music.
And putting on tennis shoes.
I would love that.
There could be E.T. Just a whole E.T. land.
Finally. My nightmares are coming to fruition.
Paul Michelle's nightmare land. There could be an entire Jaws land where you just jump into his mouth.
Oh.
There could be King Kong Village. But he's, like, nice and he has a family now.
He's like, hey, guys.
Hey,
he, like,
guys.
Wears polo shirts and
yeah.
glasses.
And he's just like, oh, my kids are driving me crazy.
They're driving me bananas.
So what do you think, listeners, will be in the Universal Park? Let us know. Best answer wins nothing. Wins hugs from Michelle.
Yay!
Must pay for your own flight to get to Michelle for said hug. So I feel like the Universal Park, it's like we pretty much just know its name. We know it's like 700. I think it's
we know it's in Orlando.
Orlando, it's 750 acres. There's going to be transportation. We know nothing else. Everything else is just purely theoretical. I think there's a hotel in the picture. There's like a big building in the back. A lot of people think that's going to be a hotel. So.
Maybe there'll be a Garfield section.
Yeah, we'll be. I know, but it will never be open on Mondays.
Garfield hates Mondays.
There'll be a Kathy comic section where there's just a lady trying to eat like fudge,
chocolate, chocolate, chocolate.
Ah. a family circus section where there's a Not Me ghost running around.
Oh, so that's a Disney tie. So Family Circus was created by Glenn Keane's dad.
Oh, I love it. I did a video that should be coming out in a couple days after this podcast comes out about the 50th anniversary of Haunted Mansion. And it's just me going around going, extreme! And just pointing to his name anywhere I could find it. Animal Kingdom will be celebrating the holidays with a, quote, magical new experience.
Ooh.
That could be anything. on Discovery Island, there will be a celebration of winter filled with white holiday decorations and colorful animal-inspired luminaires. Life-size winter animal puppets will interact with the guest. So I'm guessing there'll be, like, a giant elephant or, like, a giant rhinoceros or, like, a giant whale jumping out of the waters of life. There will also be a new nighttime show at the Tree of Life. Do they normally have a show at the Tree of Life?
Yeah, they do. Actually, you can watch it on the Disney Now app.
Oh.
That's the only way I've seen it. But it's really cool.
I've seen the Tree of Life. We weren't there at night because when I went there...
It used to close at like 5.
Yeah, it used to close like when the animals went to bed.
Yeah.
They're like, this is done.
But now I think with Everest, or not with Everest, but like they've tried to make more like... Mm.
I think in lieu of Galaxy's Edge opening, they are trying to expand different parts of the park, including their hours.
Cool.
That's just my theory.
But yeah, so the nighttime show is going to be cool. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be Illuminations.
No,
but...
it's no Illuminations.
Yeah.
But it's no Beastly Kingdom.
It's
but...
no Fire Barge, but...
but yeah, any pro-holiday stuff. They already have that ticketed celebration at Disney World, so...
Mm-hmm.
Or Magic Kingdom, so this will be another option.
Yeah.
At Christmas time, at the most magical, second most magical place on Earth.
Well, this is the happiest place on Earth.
Oh.
And Disney World is the most magical place on Earth.
Oh.
Oh, there's a cat. Disneyland cat.
Don't play.
That one's Sammy.
We pet a cat earlier.
Yeah.
How do you know that one's Sammy?
I met him last night
at
the Tiki Bar. He's named because he started coming around when Trader Sam's was built, so they call him Sammy. So he is Trader Sam.
Yeah, there was this most beautiful, like, white and gray cat, and it was letting everyone pet it, and it was just darling.
Yeah.
It was a little angel, and I wanted to take it home.
Go follow the cats of Disneyland on
yes.
Instagram.
They're amazing. Usually the ones in the park don't like it. And then a little boy came up behind me and went, "Kitty!" And then the cat ran away.
Cat was like,
peace
out.
Peace out. So Hong Kong Disneyland Castle will feature... So they're redoing the castle, mm-hmm. as a lot of people know. It will feature elements inspired by 13 Disney princesses. The princesses are Tiana, Aurora, Ariel, Mulan, Jasmine, Snow White, Moana, Cinderella, Merida, Pocahontas, Belle, Rapunzel, Anna, and Elsa. Now, first of all, Tiana, I guess she becomes a princess later.
Well, yeah, she marries a
Mulan
royalty.
Mulan is never a princess.
But she is considered a princess in, like, the Disney franchise.
Also, Anna and Elsa. That's one movie. Pick one.
Well, Anna's the princess.
Yes.
And Elsa's the queen.
So she should just be like, this is my whole castle, because I'm the queen.
Yeah.
Guests will witness the ongoing transformation of the castle. So unlike how they do a lot of construction where it's, like, behind a scrim, apparently you will be seeing the castle as it transforms.
Oh, interesting.
And then each spire is, like, our section is inspired by different princesses, so it's, like, an amalgamation, like a patchwork quilt of princesses.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, their current castle, or I guess the old castle now, it was the same as Disneyland's castle.
Yeah.
Which is small and charming, but, like, you know, if you're building a new one,
One's going to be epic.
Yeah.
Although, there is something to be said of, like, seeing the little Disneyland castle and then seeing, like, greenery, like
yes.
a mountain behind it. That was really pretty.
Well, Hong Kong has a really beautiful setting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen it, but I take your word for it. In my mind, it's in the beautiful forest of Narnia.
That's
exciting. They'll have lots of Disney princesses represented. So, Haunted Mansion 50th anniversary is happening on August 9th. I think there's a ticketed event, but I'm not going because it's from 1 a.m. to like 4 a.m.
Absolutely.
Which
not.
That is the middle of the night. That
yeah.
is unacceptable. In celebration of the event, there will be special merchandise in the park starting on the 9th, including a Host a Ghost in a Jar, or it's Host a Ghost Jar, which is a jar which contains some of your favorite spirits, including Constance Hatchaway, the Hatbox Ghost, and more. There will also be special Mickey ears, t-shirts, pins, and other accessories.
Cool.
So the ghost in the jar thing, it's literally like a jar that lights up, and then I think you say something or push something, and then Madame Leota conjures the spirit, and then it's in the jar, and it, like,
cute.
Says things. It's like voices. I just am excited for merchandise. The ears look really cool. They're like purple Haunted Mansion print.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spirit jersey. So, Michelle, there's 999 spirit jerseys, but there's always room for 1,000 in your closet. I made that joke yesterday in the video.
That's a great joke. I like it.
I'm going to reuse it because it was so good.
You should do it.
Putting that in my repertoire.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Haunted Mansion being 50, that's awesome. I always love a good anniversary celebration. Good for them.
There's a dog now.
Oh.
So many animals out here.
But it's somebody's dog. It's not like a wild dog.
Yeah. What the heck's a wild dog?
I don't know. Like a wolf or a coyote?
No, it's a dog on a leash.
Wolf pack. Galaxy's Edge in Orlando, which has now had a soft opening, past member opening, is offering alcoholic green and blue milk at the milk stand. Alcoholic beverages are also being offered, or more alcoholic beverages are also being offered at Oga's, Docking Bay 7, and Ronto Roasters. Rum will be in the blue milk and tequila in the green. There will also be more alcoholic beverages at Oga's. I just said that. But so basically, they're doubling down with the alcohol. Every single place is going to have alcohol. Thoughts, Michelle?
Okay, yeah.
I'm just like, really? Like,
I mean, but DHS has always been like,
yeah.
Go for it.
I mean, I have no problem with alcohol. It's just like, they're really doubling down. Like,
it makes money.
It does make money. But that's going to, I feel like it's just going to cause trouble. Because at Oga's currently, you can only have 2 drinks. So, like, you can't get into too much trouble. But just imagine every single place is going to be like, booze, 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 booze.
But every single place there does have booze. Like, there are. Yeah. So, like, there are, like, quick service food carts where you could get, like, beer.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I always heard, like, Epcot was where, like, all the, I've heard horror stories at Epcot of, like, people getting drunk and, like, doing horrible things.
No. Some of us just get drunk and lie down.
Some of us just get drunk and eat food.
Yeah.
Eat a whole basket of french fries and an entire cup of Dole Whip.
Yeah, whatever. This is a judge-free podcast.
People are saying, they're doing this because Galaxy's Edge isn't as popular here. No, not true. I still think as soon as the passes let up and they allow more people in, it's going to be swamped.
Uh-huh.
B, I think once Rise of the Resistance opens, it's going to be swamped. Packed. C, Star Wars, I think, is not as... It's a popular property, but it's not like... even though they're making new ones, it's still not the most current thing. It's not like... like the newest thing that just came out. Like,
right. Like if we, like, let's say Disney all of a sudden was like, hey, we bought Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And then they were like.
And even
like,
Harry Potter's not making new stuff except for Fantastic Beasts.
Right. Which aren't as popular as, like, nothing is ever going to be as popular as, like, that lightning in a bottle.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
if this was 1980, that land would be.
Oh yeah.
Swamped.
But. Mm-hmm. Nothing will ever be the lightning in the bottle of the original three movies.
It's really hard to get that again.
Yeah.
Like, if they made Marvel Land as the day of, like, Endgame came out, I think that could be, like, swamped.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's doing fine. I think it's just... Disneyland will always be crowded. I've been there. It's not empty by any means. Like, Oga's has been full every day.
Oh, yeah.
It just hasn't... They haven't closed the land. The land hasn't been so swamped that they can't keep it open.
Right.
But... I mean, the park, you know, it's just, I think, I just, mark my words, once summer's over, it's going to be, they're going to start using that boarding pass system.
Yeah.
Not every day, but I think there's going to definitely be days that have it.
For sure.
Michelle agrees with this.
I do.
Yes. So any thoughts on the news or alcohol or anything?
No. Give people the option and they'll respond accordingly.
Booze them and they will come.
Well, yeah, like, you can get booze anywhere at
That's true.
Disney Hollywood Studios. So, like, okay, cool.
Enjoy. So, this week's episode is about DCA, the early years. So, basically, we're going to be talking about DCA, like, the opening year or two and the attractions that were there that are no longer with us.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
The request is, this is from Josh M. Josh M., we met him inside Galaxy's Edge when we were with Tiff, and that's the first time we ever had someone come up to us to talk about the podcast, so that was really exciting. So, hi, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
So, he said, I have an idea for a podcast episode in which you guys talk about what a day in California Adventure would have looked like in the early 2000s before they overhauled the park. It was exclamation point, so I inflected.
Ooh.
I know you did an episode on Superstar Limo, and it was amazing. I know.
Oh, my God.
But a whole episode on the weirdness that was DCA 1.0 would be awesome. There are so many weird things about DCA 1.0, from pizza Mau Mau and soap opera bistro to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So, When did you first go to DCA?
It wasn't until 2008.
I was there, so you didn't get to see a lot of the old stuff.
No.
Did you see the original? Thank God. Did you see the original entrance?
Yes.
Okay. I was there opening year a lot. So I've been on Superstar Limo. I did Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I was like 14 maybe at the time. Mm-hmm. So, because 2001, yeah, it would have been 13, 14. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So this is memories for me as like early teen, like as early teen as you can get. But, yeah, and I went and I remember the change. I remember when they switched the entrance, you had to go in through the kind of like the back door, like next to Condor Flats for a long time, for like a year I think you had to do that. So
I remember all the transition, and I remember quote Wall Street, which was just, it was all these construction walls
by Ariel where that is now. So this will be a combination of our notes, and I will interject with my musings from 4 years ago.
So if you were going to DCA, you would go, originally DCA, with the footprint of where DCA is, was the Mickey and Minnie parking lot.
Yes, I remember that parking lot.
I remember that parking lot, too, from when I was a little girl.
With my favorite ride, the tram.
The tram. So they paved that, or they paved it. They built California Adventure on top of it. So when you walked into the Esplanade, you'd to the left would be Disneyland, to the right would be California Adventure. How did you know you were in California Adventure? Because you would see a big C-A-L-I-F.
Ornia.
Ornia. I've had a drink. It's fine.
It's
in
fine.
Giant letters. Like a postcard.
Yes.
Now, let me explain to you guys. I went in and out of this from 2008 to 2011 when they changed it. I did not realize that this was supposed to be a postcard.
Yep.
So the idea that the Imagineers had was you would, like those old postcards that would say like California, Miami in big letters. That's what the letters were. And then they had this, what's it called?
Boobs.
No. This mosaic.
Yes.
That was in the background to make it look like it was art or whatever.
I can't remember if it was on one side or on both sides.
It was on both sides.
Okay, it was on both sides.
And so if no one is around and you stand all the way back at Disneyland and you looked at the big California, you could definitely see what the Imagineers were going for.
Yeah, it's like California at the bottom. You saw the Golden Gate Bridge and the postcard things
on the side. It looks like a postcard. Mm-hmm. All of that being said, it did not really look like it. You didn't get it. I only understand it now because I had to do research on it.
I have a picture of Tracy and I taking a picture in one of the, I think it was the A in California. When we were like, I was like 16, I think. So I remember those letters fondly.
Well, those letters were pretty cool. They would get dressed up for the holidays. Mm-hmm. They would be like candy cane stripes for Christmas.
Easter.
My favorite thing was when World of Color was coming, they did like the Summer of Color.
Oh.
And they were hues of the rainbow that kind of ombre'd. It was really pretty.
Like my hair I want.
Yes. The hair we all aspire for.
Tiffany Mink hair.
Oh, the most beautiful. And so those, the California letters were donated to the Friends of California Expo and State Fair. So if you really want to go see them, you can go see them in Northern California. So that ceramic mural in the background was actually the world's largest ceramic mural.
Oh, I wonder what the record was before that.
Yeah. To be honest, like...
3x3.
Here's my 2 cents about DCA opening day. Because, you know, Michael Eisner was very defensive about it. Like, oh, well, it had as many attractions as opening day Disneyland in 1955.
Here are some swings and a teeter-totter.
Yeah, and Roy Disney was like, you're charging full day admission for a half day park. Like, this is not...
It's always been the same price as Disneyland. I don't think there was ever a time standard where DCA was cheaper
than
Disneyland. Which
is what Roy was kind of, pointing out.
To this day.
I think that if this park was owned by another company and anywhere else in the world, or in the United States, it would have been... Outside of California. Mm-hmm. It would have been a fine theme park.
Yes.
Like, oh, what a charming little theme park.
Yes.
But it's next to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Disneyland has the hub and these distinct lands. Mm-hmm. California Adventure had technically 3 lands.
Yeah, with, like, 3 lands with, like, sub-lands, but really 3 lands.
And when you look at it on its own, it's like, oh, this is fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yeah. But it's fine.
But when you compare it to Disneyland and you see, it's kind of like that, it's like, oh, well, when you see their potential,
yeah,
you're like, this was, anyway,
and,
sorry.
And there wasn't really any IP to begin with, which I'm not the biggest IP fan per se anyway.
Yeah.
But it was just like Disneyland had all the IP and this was just like farms, California,
hubcaps,
hot dogs on a stick.
So great. So if you so then you'd walk in to what's now Buena Vista Street. Mm-hmm. To the left, you'd see some more mural.
Yeah, there was a big store to the left. Like, it's, I think, the same size as Five and Dime, but it was just a mural store.
Yeah. And then to the right, it's right in front of you, you would see now the monorail, where the monorail goes over, was the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes, I remember that.
Which was like, oh, Full House, cool. And then to your right, I don't know if you could miss it. You could try to miss it, but it was this giant, it was basically a box, and it was this bright yellow color, and it was called Engine Ears.
Yep, I remember
Toys.
That.
And inside, like, the pathway through the store was, like, train tracks painted on the floor. And one of the like, curio things to put items was, like, a train. Again, if this was not a Disney park.
If this was Six Flags, this would be the best Six Flags theme park in the world.
If this was Great Escape up in Lake George, New York, it would be like, oh, cute.
Yeah.
But this is Disney we're talking about. And it's like, oh, you painted down some.
Yeah. Huh. You did a California themed theme park in California.
Well, Michael Eisner's whole thing was like, he wanted to make Disneyland like a multi-day resort. And so he was like, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll make a theme park with all these pieces of California in it, so then you don't have to go visit them.
Why go to the Hollywood sign? We have the Hollywood sign right here.
In Superstar Limo.
If you want to see movie stars, go on Superstar Limo.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Cool. Tight.
So at the end of the street was Sunshine Plaza.
Yes.
Home to the world's largest hubcap. So there was this giant sun that it basically looks like a hubcap.
It was supposed to be like a statue, and it was like metallic and kind of artsy looking, but it was a hubcap.
It was a yellow hubcap. Yeah. And the thing about it was, like, you, whenever, like, the hot dog or the weenie in the middle of the park, whether it's the Tree of Life, the Epcot ball, or the castle, you want to take a picture of it. Well, this weenie, the hubcap, is backlit by the sun.
Yep.
So, instead, they decided to put up reflectors to reflect onto it. Guess what? They rarely worked.
And I remember, are you going to talk about the water? Okay.
So the water...
Don't mean to jump the gun.
No. So underneath the hubcap was like this wave pool. So it would create like a wave. But again...
And they curled like waves.
Yeah. So again, I feel like a lot of the theming was lost on me as a guest. But now having to do research, I'm like... Oh, okay.
Okay.
Sure, I see you.
Sure, Jan.
Okay. So eventually that giant hubcap and wave pool is now Carthay Circle Restaurant.
Yes.
And if you ever watch Colleen Ballinger perform in High School Musical 3, you can see the giant hubcap in the background.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, that's in the movie?
No. In the High School Musical show at DCA.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that was, Sunshine Plaza. And so if you are in what nowadays is the Starbucks.
Yes.
That area.
An ice cream shop.
What used to be there was the California Zephyr.
I remember that, yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
It was like a big train, basically.
And
it was all connected.
Yeah. So it was cool. It sold like toys and it had Burbank, which was like an ice cream shop.
Burbank.
Get it? Burbank. Wink, wink.
And it was really
small. Where the
Disney
Studios are. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember it being really small. And it had like this cute little like, hey, you're at a train station vibe. But then it would like behind it was like a big box. So it's like, oh, this is just a facade.
Yeah. And I feel like it was on like faux tracks, but not really.
Yeah. It's on faux tracks. Yeah. Like, but it like, oh, is it going to move? It's like, no, there's a wall next to it.
Yeah. It's attached to the ground.
Yeah. So, they sold, they just sold toys and
Burbank.
And it was weird because it was right at the edge. It was right next to the, not Imagineers, the Engineers
yes.
place. Mm-hmm. So, like, they were just at the corner. So, it's like you had this beautiful illusion and then you had this mm-hmm. giant yellow wall.
Mm-hmm.
It was not, yeah.
So, it was not fine.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add about the anything you remember?
I just remember that mosaic, and it was like all these like oranges and reds,
yeah.
and blues in there, and it was like California. If like you got really drunk and then like squinted through your hand, it's like that's California.
Yeah.
The theme was very on brand with like this is California, and it was just like abstract art. It was very early 2000s version of California, like. Like, their parade that they had, like, icons of California, I remember.
Uh-huh.
Like, they had the guy who works, or who's at, Venice Beach, and he plays the guitar, and he goes around on roller skates, and, like, they had, like, yeah, it was just all very, like, abstract, kind of off-cartoony art, if I remember that correctly.
Ugh.
A lot of that represented.
Two thumbs down.
Two very enthusiastic thumbs down.
Yeah, so...
It was fine.
It was fine.
The Golden Gate Bridge was cool. Seeing the monorail go across that was a cool effect.
Yeah.
For 13-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would say that's that or the Zephyr probably. Mm-hmm. The Zephyr facade was probably the best part, I think, of that, of the entrance in that area.
I just remember electronica happening in front of the sun, the hubcap.
Yep.
Yeah.
But once electronica was up, the wall started going up in front of that, so it started getting taken
like,
down.
Nobody look at this.
They know attention to the man behind the curtain. So shall we go to Paradise Pier?
Yeah, we'll walk to the back of the park, go to Paradise Pier.
So Paradise Pier, this is my note. Eek.
Eek.
Yeah. So a lot of things there now are still there. So this has had the most lease change.
Yes. The most name changes, for sure.
Yeah, identity crisis out the wazoo. So, like, for example, California Screamin' is now the Incredicoaster.
Yes.
Which is, I mean, it's fine.
I like that roller coaster. It's a fun roller coaster.
Yeah, I like that roller coaster, but when you do the loop, there used to be a Mickey Mouse head.
Yes.
Which I thought was so adorable.
Why couldn't they keep that?
Because it doesn't go with Pixar. It doesn't go with Incredibles. Well,
they have the giant Mickey face on Pixar on the Ferris wheel.
They'll probably take it down.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Ah, put up Woody.
Hey, guys. Woody here. So the sun wheel technically has always been the same thing, but it was originally called the Sun Wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It had a big old sun
wheel on it.
Sun influenced by Mexican folk art.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was called the Mickey's Fun Wheel.
Yes.
And it had Mickey Mouse on it.
Yep, that's when they put Mickey Mouse's face on it.
And now it's called the Pixar Pal-Around. So this area, the Pixar Pier area of the park, was supposed to represent, like, the like Santa Monica Pier and like all these pier places.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think this giant wheel must be based off a very famous Ferris wheel in California. You'd be wrong.
You'd be dead wrong.
It's based off the Wonder Wheel at Coney Island in New York.
Oh, the famous California Coney Island.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, you went through all this trouble to... Is the thing.
A Ferris wheel that nobody likes because it's so terrifying?
Yeah.
Or maybe people like it. I just find it terrifying.
I like it.
I can't even go on the stationary cars.
Oh, really?
It's terrifying.
I mean, I don't mind it. I just think it's funny that, like, California, and it's like, oh, this is based off a thing in New York. So a big complaint about the park when it opened was that too many of the rides were out-of-the-box rides, meaning, like, you could buy these and put these anywhere. Like, there's no theming around them. A perfect example of this is the Maliboomer.
Yep.
The Maliboomer is just a drop ride. You know, it's comparable to Dr. Doom.
It, like, launched you up into the air, and then you kind of bounced down, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
And then, so that concept has been used at Disney before in Tower of Terror. Think of that. Highly themed, very specific, taking something super simple, a drop, and turning it into a whole experience. Maliboomer is like the opposite of like Disney. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
It was just, hey,
we got this for 50% off.
Yeah, like they bought it on eBay and were like,
We could put this somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So Mel Boomer was where Emotional Whirlwind is now.
Yeah, where the smoking section used to be.
Yes, for a long time.
Like, they literally took it down and replaced it with a smoking section.
With nothing for years. I remember Mel Boomer had, like, a barf shield. Like, every seat had, like, a little plastic screen in front of you.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't know if it was for barf, but you had a plastic shield in front of your face.
Ugh.
And I decided it was for barf.
I like it. I like it.
I approve of this message.
So if we move on to the Orange Stinger, you know, when I think of California, I think of bees.
I think it was supposed to be Orange County because it was a big orange.
It was supposed to be based on, like, the orange, because, like, everywhere or a lot of places in the state, you harvest oranges.
Yeah, you worked really hard to say that oranges, didn't you?
And there are bees, I guess, and honey.
Because only bees exist in California.
I suppose so.
The famous California bees.
So this is another, like, identity crisis. So this is now Silly Symphony Swings, but it's that same exact swinging ride.
Yeah.
Swinging in a circle, but there used to be little bee stingers on, on the bottom of every seat.
And I remember it would go bzzz.
So, yeah, you were in, like, this giant orange, and you would just spin around, and then I remember one day it just disappeared.
Yeah.
And they just ripped it all down and put up the Silly Symphony Swings. Yeah, so across the street from that is something that I miss to this day. Pizza O'Mau Mau.
Yep.
It was this really, like, if you want to talk about California, this was, like, perfect. It was, like, this little beach shack that, like, I felt like frat boys lived in. Like, there was a bicycle on the ceiling.
They served you your pizza.
Yeah, it was, like, so awesome. And the great thing was, like, for families or big groups of people, you can order a big pizza. The first time I went to DCA was with my friends, Jennifer and Scott, Jennifer of the UCI, or Main Street UCI.
Oh, Jenna Maroney.
Jenna Maroney. we went there and we ordered, like, a large pizza, and I thought, this is the height of luxury. This is so great because it's just more cost effective to do one old big thing of pizza. And I really miss it. I thought it was really great theming and on brand, or, like, if they were really trying to go for this California thing, I was like, that felt really California to me. It felt like Venice.
Yeah.
Like Venice
Beach. And Malibu, too.
Yeah. So I really dug that. And then they replaced it, I think, with something so bland, that, like, pizza pasta area.
Like, was it Garden something?
Yeah.
Well, next to that was Burger Invasion, which was
brought to you by McDonald's.
McDonald's. So that's when you had some McDonald's food in the park.
Yeah.
Which is always a treat.
So late 90s, early 2000s.
And it was just basically, I think, a giant burger that kind of looked like a spaceship.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good times.
So rough. All right. So moving on. Another identity crisis. Mulholland Madness.
Ooh.
Because, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, you know the thing about California? Traffic
and driving irrationally.
Yeah. So Mulholland Madness is the same exact ride as Primeval Whirl at Disney World. And it was just like, you're on Mulholland Drive. And
it's like, madness.
As someone who had just moved to L.A., I didn't get the theming until, like, 5 years later when I actually drove over Mulholland. And I'm like, how is a tourist supposed to get this reference that, like, Mulholland Drive is really narrow and has sharp turns?
I think all of DCA was a lot of, like, inside jokes for Michael Eisner and, like, the higher-ups at Disney.
1,000%.
That, like, you have to live specifically in Los Angeles for, like, 20 years. And then you're like, I get all of these.
I get this reference.
It's very similar to Superstar Limo. Like, the humor was very, like, Hollywood mogul humor.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is a very niche audience we're playing to right now.
Because I'm from Orange County, and even I don't, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, Mulholland is, like, very twisty and turny.
Yeah. So that is my very brief book report on Paradise Pier. And those are all the fun things you could have done back in the day. Which, of all the things that I mentioned, if I was back in time, I would just check, scan my ticket and go straight to Pizza O'Mau Mau and chill out there all day, because that was the only thing about DCA that I liked.
I remember the first version of the boardwalk was current day Venice Beach, Santa Monica Pier. So it was very, like, there was, like, the tattoo man. It was, like, very tacky.
Yes.
Like,
and the bearded lady.
Yeah. And it was just very standard games. Like, there wasn't any theming to them. It was just like, oh, bop these things on the head, hit the basketball in the hoop. Then after that, it became eventually like a Victorian pier. So at least that had some sort of theming. And then now I think the Pixar is the better of the three themes, which that's like, you won the ugliest pig contest. But
yeah. Yeah. I definitely like the La Luna little game because I like getting little stars and I like cute. The aesthetic of La Luna. Yeah. But like,
and at least it has a theme, not just like, you can go to Venice Beach right now and play this.
Right. But like, I don't know. Still, for me, I still kind of expect better.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's kind of mean to say because, like, Magic Kingdom, you can do anything and go anywhere. And I guess, like, pretty much with any other theme park, you're kind of, like, narrowed. I think, like, Animal Kingdom does a good job of being, like...
Yeah, they have very specific themes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and Disneyland and Magic Kingdoms are just, like, magic.
A lot of DCA was, like, stuff from Hollywood Studios or stuff from other parks that didn't work out that they kind of transformed into California theme.
Hey, this didn't work out. What should we do with it? Nah, put it in DCA.
California. It's a river rapids. California has water.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I remember a lot of Paradise Pier 2 had, like, a really tacky theme. Like, there was, like, the Sunglass Shack and, like, there was, like, a store that was, like, a dinosaur with sunglasses.
Yep.
And then, like, the Corndog Castle was there. That didn't change much. But it was, like, a lot of, like, tackier things around it, except Pizza Ooh Mau Mau and Burger Invasion. That was delightful. But, like, even across from there was, like, a shipwreck little play area. It was just very, it was very indicative of Venice. It was just, like, a bit tacky.
Yeah, it was just very, in my opinion, personal opinion, just kind of cheaply done, cheaply thrown together.
Yes.
And I feel like they've definitely done some upgrades to it. Like, obviously, like, Cars Land is amazing.
Yes.
And, but I still can't spend a day there.
Oh, yeah, it's really hard to spend a whole day in DCA. But because also there's not that many rides, all the rides tend to have longer lines than Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Cars Land, it's a good day if it's under an hour. The roller coaster, what is it now, Incredicoaster, that usually has a shorter line, but that has a really high...
OHRC.
Yeah, that. And then, besides that, and then Soarin' normally is not that bad, but now that it's Soarin' over California, that's super popular.
Which I hope they just keep it forever.
I really do, because that's just superior.
1,000%.
But yeah, besides that, there's really not that many rides that aren't just like, oh, Gold Zeppler, you just, Zeppler, or whatever it's called, you spin around, or like Jumpin' Jellyfish, which I've still never been on Jumpin' Jellyfish.
I think my mom and I did it once.
After like 15 years or however long it's been open, almost 20 years.
It's cute.
It's fine.
I like the aesthetic. It reminds me of in Tokyo Disneyland, Ariel's Grotto.
Oh, but yeah, just one little ride.
Yeah.
Just one little spark.
From me to you.
So now let's go back to the front of the park.
Okay.
To Hollywoodland.
Please tell me these things.
So basically the park was kind of divided. Northern California, Southern California was split into the pier and Hollywoodland. So, but basically those weren't the names of the three lands, but that's kind of how the themes were broken up.
And yeah, the official three lands of the park were Hollywood Land, Paradise Pier,
and Golden State. Yeah, which covered everything. So Hollywood Land, when you first walked in, opening day, there were large elephant statues that used to flank a sign that read Hollywood Pictures. So the theme was a backlot.
Ooh.
And the elephants were similar to the ones that were in the movie Intolerance. Currently, if you go to Hollywood and Highland Complex, it was kind of themed towards that. And I think actually DCA is older than the Hollywood Highland Complex. They're very similar in time period, though. I wouldn't say one copied the other. I just think DCA opened first. But the other one probably opened within a year.
Oh.
Yeah, you hear it here first.
Whoa.
Believe these facts. So the land was filled with a lot. It was a very punny quotations land. Lots of puns everywhere. It used to be so many puns, Michelle.
So many puns, it'll make you sick.
It'll make you barf. Window signs used to read Ben Hare and Dial M for Muscle. There was other signs as well. So basically in the the Hollywood land was, it was like a boulevard, but then you realize it's all facades. So it's supposed to be a back lot, but it looks like Los Angeles. And like, there's all these sound studios everywhere because it's really expensive to make fake sound studios.
There's boxes.
Yeah, there's boxes. Yeah. But yeah, if you notice, if you even still, now they've kind of rethemed it a bit, but if you would go behind the facades, you'd see like,
yes.
They even still kind of like that. Like, if you go to where Captain America is, that meet and greet, and you go behind the buildings, it's a facade. It's supposed to look like a facade.
The one cool thing is that the monster from Horizons, or was it World of Motion?
Yes.
Used to be in the Hollywood backlot.
Oh, where?
So where like the
there was a monster in Horizons,
or maybe it was either Horizons or World of Motion. There was like a sea serpent.
Oh,
and that used to be in the Hollywood backlot.
Oh, so
where
fancy.
Like Thor's meet and greet is now.
Oh, yeah, I think actually I remember that, and it freaked me out. I have memories of this now. So when you first walk in, you go to the left to the soundstage area. So you go behind the Muppet ride, which we'll get to later. There was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Play it. So you played for points and prizes. So basically there was a show, if you don't know, called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It's still on in syndication. It was hosted by Regis Philbin, and it was a cultural phenomenon.
It really was.
Where you'd answer questions and you'd win $1 million. This was, I think, the first TV show, at least in the United States, where you could win that much money. And back in the day, $1 million is a lot still, but that was like winning $5 million today. It was ungodly amounts of money. So they did a version of this at DCA. You played for points and prizes instead of cash. Each correct answer earned you a pin. At 1,000, you get a baseball cap. 32,000, you get a polo shirt. And at 1 million, you earn a leather jacket and a trip to New York to see a live taping of the show. My principal watched it, and he said one time he saw a guy get to 1 million points.
Oh, wow.
That was really rare. And someone else you may know, Michelle, was in the hot seat.
Really?
On Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Play It.
Oh, was it Dale?
No.
Was it Katie Tim?
Nope.
Was it you?
Yes, it was.
Oh, tell me about
it. So when I was 14, I would go like sit in the audience of that show, and I remember someone told me, just hit a random button. So when you initially you'd go in and they'd ask you a trivia question, and you had to choose between A, B, C, or D. And whoever answered that question correctly the fastest got to go up to the hot seat, and that was just one person would do it, and you'd play for prizes. I just hit a random button, and I was like, I'm not going to do anything. I don't even care to play. I didn't even know the answer. I just hit C. Lo and behold, Jasmine, come on down. I don't think they said my name. It was like number, like something, something, come on down. So when I was 14, I looked like I was 18. Like, I didn't look like a kid. So I went down. I remember I got up to 32,000 points because I got a polo shirt and a hat. I think I lost on the $64,000 question, and you had options like phone a complete stranger. So basically there was a phone outside the studio and it would just ring and a random person would pick it up.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think I used that. And then they had like ask the audience 50-50. I think I used those two. I didn't use phone a complete stranger. I lost at 64,000. So I got 3,200 points, and I took all the pins and the hat and the polo, and I sold them for $100 to a collector, which, you know, that was like $200 nowadays. So at 14, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I remember that I went back and you had to sign to get your prizes, and they're like, oh, you're 18. Can we see your ID? I said, no, I'm 14. And I remember it was such hullabaloo that they're like, you're 14? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh my gosh. And they're all panicking. They're like, we can't release the prizes. Where are your parents? I said, oh, I'm here by myself. My mom just dropped me off with my friend, and we're here by ourselves. So literally I had to call, and this is before I had a cell phone. So I had to call my mom on a payphone, or I think Disney let me call her on their phone, maybe.
Ooh.
I don't think I used a payphone. I think they let me call her from their phone. I remember going to like a backstage area, to like an office area.
Oh.
And they had the prizes in a bag, and they just couldn't give them to me. So I had to call my mom. They let her park in the 15-minute guest drop-off parking. They escorted her into the park with like a manager took her inside the park. They didn't even have to sign her in. They like let her in through a side gate. She came back. She signed for my prizes. She got my prizes. And then when I say they escorted us out, it wasn't like we were in trouble. She didn't have a ticket. So they just had to make sure she left. And she did that when she came to pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
And we left. And I just remember doing the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. They had a host who was kind of like a faux Regis guy. And the host was a pretty good host. Like, he seemed pretty legit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at one point he asked me a question and I shook my head yes. And he's like, oh, you can't say that. Like, you have to say yes. It's like, he's explained reason why you have to say yes.
But kind I remember, of like in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like in Vegas.
You had to verbally agree, yeah.
You have to, in Vegas, you have to, when you play like 21, you have to put down your hand.
Yes.
I didn't know this until a few weeks ago. You have to like tap the table so that the security cameras can see, she asked for a hit.
Okay.
Or you have to wave your hand so that they know, like, oh, she asked to stay.
Because then if you record it and like there's an issue later, they can see your hands.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was a fun experience. I remember it was really nerve-wracking. I was shocked I got as high as I did, because that's like, I don't know how many questions, because it would start at 1,000 points, then 2,000 points, 4,000 points. So it was probably, I think I got over halfway. There was only maybe like four questions.
Yeah, because 64,
yeah.
And then
180, and then 300, So maybe like 4 or 5 questions after that. I played pretty far though. I played further.
Do you remember
than,
any of the questions?
I have no idea. I don't remember any of them. I think I played further than almost anyone. I think it was like 2 or 3 people per game.
Oh.
And but after I was done, they immediately take you off. But my friend said she thinks I got further than anyone else who played that game. And they had like 5 shows a day.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, oh, you got further than anyone else that game, like out of 50 people that day. But it was fun, and I remember, yeah, my friend's mom was a collector, and she bought my prizes for me and sold them, because I was like, what am I going to do with pins and a hat?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, kind of a cheap polo and a hat, and it was definitely made for a guy, like, these were, like, guy polos, guy kind of baseball hats.
Yeah.
Like, dad hat.
That sounds really similar to the experience I had on the American Idol experience.
Oh, did you sing?
Uh-huh.
Did you win?
Uh-huh.
Oh, what did you do after that?
Went on more rides.
Oh, I thought, like, if you won, you got, like, don't you go to, like, another show, and then whoever wins the main show of the day? Did you win the main show of the day?
No, some other guy did.
And then you get a ticket to, like, the front of the line to try out for American Idol?
Yeah.
But you won your show. That's cool.
Yeah.
You beat out other people.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was cool. And you're like, I can sing. So you did American Idol. I did Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
Neither one of us really won anything.
No.
It was a really fun experience. I'm really proud I got to do it because not a lot of people got to experience that ride, and I got to be in the hot seat at 14, and I made it a decent amount. It's not like I lost it like 2,000.
No, I think you should be very proud of yourself.
At 14, just showing the world what a genius I am.
Hey, everyone. Come see how smart I am.
Come and see how good I look. I'm not going to talk about Superstar Limo because I did a whole episode on that. Would I like to talk about Superstar Limo? Yes. It was awesome. It was the best. It was another ride that was, like, themed like a,
I just rolled a back my lot. Eyes.
Yeah, her eyeballs popped out of her head. She just rolled them so much. It's where Monsters, Inc. is now. It was, you know...
Terrible?
It was terrible. It was the worst ride Disney ever made.
Yep.
But I enjoyed it at the time because it was the only dark ride, and it wasn't, like... You basically, the ride choices you had were Soarin', which if you're afraid of heights, not fun. The Ferris wheel, afraid of heights, not fun. Roller coaster, terrifying.
The spinning, oh, you're right, there's Arvin.
Yeah, Grizzly Rapids, which you're going to get wet. And then the last ride you had that was somewhat calm, the only family ride really was, unless you count Soarin' as a family ride, was Superstar Limo. That was your option. And yeah, it was cardboard cutouts, but I guess I was 14. I didn't know any better. Like, I didn't know what the world was. So yeah, you can listen to if you want to know my thoughts on Superstar Limo, listen to that episode. Bring back Superstar Limo.
I feel like you and 3 other people would,
me
like,
and start, 0 other people.
Would, like, start that campaign.
People would sign it ironically.
Yeah. Superstar Limo was my favorite ride ever, really?
Said no one. Dash Jasmine LaGiovardi.
Yeah.
So there was these ABC Soap Opera Bistro, a restaurant where diners could eat on the sets of either Port Charles, All My Children, General Hospital, or One Life to Live. So ABC soap operas. Are soap operas still a thing anymore?
Yeah, they're still going on.
They're still on? I had never eaten in this restaurant. I wish I did because it sounded awesome. So dish titles included One Leaf to Live, tuna in tomorrow,
and
cheating chicken saute.
Oh my gosh!
Each room was themed to a different set from various soap operas. So there was a hospital room, there was a mansion, there was even a restaurant set. So in the restaurant, they had the set of a restaurant. And then they had the set of a bar, which was the actual bar. It was pretty big. It's where Playhouse Disney Live is now.
Yeah.
So that was all a restaurant.
Although, like, when I'm in that space, I'm like, how was this a multi-room
a huge restaurant
dining experience? But maybe, maybe Carthay took up some of that footprint?
And I think some of that backstage, like, there's probably some backstage there that was the restaurant as well.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm guessing, because it felt big. I went in there, I just never ate there. And then, this is the best part, I thought. All servers were dressed up as different soap opera characters and would act out soap opera scenes while you dined. The diners were treated as characters as well. So, as I was explaining to Katie earlier, like, the guy from General Hospital would go up behind you and be like, I'm having an affair with my wife, with your wife, Kim, and, you know, this is our baby, and they'd point to, like, some other guy, and, like, they would just do these whole scenes, like, how could you, Deborah? How could you?
I was with Jacqueline at the fitness center.
It's a bar over here. And if you listen to the podcast, I'm promoting another podcast, Podcast Aride. This week, their episode, they talk about, the person they interview talks about how he worked at Soap Opera Bistro. And he says it was the best job he ever, like the least stressful, best job he ever had. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the waiters and they would do these scenes. And he's like, it was the easiest improv and you could just reuse jokes over and over. I think you and I would have done really done well in that restaurant. If that existed, you probably would have.
Yes, but I'm the world's worst waitress.
Oh, so yeah, you'd have to have someone else. You would have to have someone else help you be a waitress.
But yeah. I would have just been there for the humor.
For the attention and the acting.
That's right.
But it just sounded, like, awesome and, like, you could eat on the sets. It kind of reminds me of the Mom 50s Diner.
Oh, 50s Primetime?
Yeah, 50s Primetime, where, yeah. like, the waiters are in on the joke. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So there was also Muppet Vision 3D and Rizzo's Prop and Pawn Shop. So Muppet Vision 3D was around not too long ago. It feels like it just ended yesterday, but it was probably, like, 5 or 6 years ago it ended.
I feel like it ended a while ago.
That's true. And then, so the store that's across from there was a Muppets theme shop, and it was Rizzo's Pawn Shop. Muppets deserves its own episode, so I won't go into too much detail of that.
Yeah,
it's the exact same ride that's in Hollywood Studios. Now it's where they have
PhilharMagic.
Yeah, I almost said Mickey's Symphony. PhilharMagic. Check it out. Watch videos. It's the last movie Jim Henson ever directed.
Which is so
sad. It's so sad, because it was really close. Like, I think he died before the movie...
It opened.
It opened, yeah.
So my friend, Ian, who actually is a puppeteer, who did some work with Jim Henson, his studio, he saw him walking out of Disney MGM Studios when he was, like, working on the attraction. Ian saw him walking out, and, like, he died 3 days later.
Oh, my God. He died really quickly. It was kind of like Walt Disney, where it was just really, like, oh, you're not feeling well, you're not feeling well, oh, you're actually dying.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a scene where, like, part of the wall blows out, and, like, you can see outside into the park, and I remember thinking, like, that doesn't look like Disneyland, and I realized that was supposed to be Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
So, there was a food court called Hollywood and Dine. Get it? Hollywood and Dine. So, this is where...
yes.
It was where Captain Marvel meet and greet is now. There's that soundstage. That's where it was.
Oh, where Flynn's and
arcade is
and,
or was
where it yeah. was and the Mad Hatter's arcade.
Yeah, which I wish they still had that.
Me too.
All eateries were based on famous Hollywood restaurants, including Wilshire Bowl, Villa Capri, and Schwab's Pharmacy, and seating areas were themed to look like the restaurant. This probably more than anything I wish was still either this or Soap Opera Bistro. I wish were still open. Because it was just, you know, it was a nice food court. It was inside. It was well-themed. They had different types of food.
Mm.
Like, it, you know, you could get Italian food. You could get, like, they had, like, tiki-themed food. I think it just would have been fun. Or Hawaiian. I guess it was a tiki restaurant, Hawaiian-themed food.
Oh.
It just sounds like a fun place. And that space is not utilized. There's nothing in there now except, like, half a plane.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, both the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire soundstage and that, I feel like, are really... criminally underutilized.
I feel like all of Hollywood backlot really could use some reimagining.
And I'm sure they must have some sort of plan, like maybe more Marvel Land will go there, maybe like...
But I just hope, the only thing I hope we don't lose is the animation building,
because
I love that.
Yeah, that's
like,
really
fun.
Like,
if they were like, oh, we lost the Hyperion Theater, I'd be like, that's fine. Yeah.
And even that's supposed to be like a soundstage, and the facade is the Hyperion Theater.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
I don't 100% understand
It's
the
a theater
theme.
Facade, but it's really a theater.
But
wink,
it's
wink.
Really a movie.
Of your life, starring you. but yeah, Hollywood and Dine, I feel like we would eat there if it was still open. I don't remember that. That must have not been open for very long.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, but that was when they were really doubling down on that Hollywood theme, and they would have the ladies who were dressed up like different characters, like a Carmen Miranda lady and like an old Western lady walking around doing a show. They had that one show that you talked about where they did like the art.
Oh, Drawn to the Magic.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
that
must have been
one.
Later though, because that was, you were.
I mean, that was like 2008.
So that was kind of the transitional period.
Yes.
But yeah, they really were doubling down on that Hollywood theme, but I guess that faded really quickly. Like, and now it's just basically an extension of Marvel Land.
It's Marvel Land with also Frozen in the animation building.
Yeah, it's just random things.
Yeah.
And, like, a cool street that's supposed to be, like, California. I think it's like, an extension of Carthay Circle. It's just, like, an old Hollywood street.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then end of list. Because they took down the Hollywood signs, so that's not there anymore.
And the elephants.
Yeah. So it's just...
It just is.
It is. So now I'm going to take you to the Golden State area, which has six sub areas.
It's literally the rest of the park.
It is the rest of the park.
Anything we have not spoken about,
we will now.
Is technically Golden State,
and it's kind of shaped in an odd way. Like it's like kind of like Like a three. Yeah, like a three-leaf clover, if you will.
Yeah, it's... Yes. Yeah,
it's that whole corner of the park. So Golden State celebrated California and its history, but mostly Northern California. It's like celebrating all countries, but mostly America.
Yeah.
Speaking of Muppet Theater. So Condor Flats, which became Grizzly Peak Airfield, which I didn't know that happened. I thought it was still Condor Flats.
Yeah.
Celebrated California's aviation history. This featured Soarin' Over California, which it does again.
Hooray!
So it's basically that whole area. It was a little different themed. Like, there wasn't that... Now there's, like, a little soda section and, like, a car. I don't feel like that was their opening day. It was mostly just Soarin' Over California and that restaurant next door, that eatery.
Yeah, and supposedly, at least when it opened, all of the planes in the queue were built in California.
Oh!
I'm not sure. Well, I learned that from the Disney Channel special.
You believe it.
Starring Patrick Warburton.
Disney Daddy told you, so you must believe it.
That's right. And if you ever have a chance, if you're ever like, ooh, I want to watch something good and cringy, you should watch that special.
Yes. Okay, boss.
It is cringy. Like Richard Kind.
Yeah.
What gets kids more excited than Hopper's brother from A Bug's Life?
Well, it was basically people who were... He and the guy from Rocky Horror Picture Show were on Spin City.
Yeah.
And then they had the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire guy. Not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Whose Line Is It Anyway guys. Yeah. So it's very early, late 90s, early 2000 ABC stars.
Yeah.
Which has no context now.
I'm surprised, like, Drew Carey wasn't there.
He was like, I'm in the ride. I'm in Superstar Limo.
Yeah.
The Grizzly Peak Recreational Area celebrated national parks. That area and the Grizzly Peak ride has mostly been unchanged. I don't think Grizzly Peak has changed at all, the ride. I don't think, like, the Red Trail was there. I think that maybe changed a little bit, but I don't... Red Creek Trail, but I don't think it has.
I played on it, like, once. Like, one day I was like, I'm going to play on this so I can say I've done it.
I did it, and then I swung across. Yeah, that area, I think the ride is exactly the same. I wish they would do a little revamp on that ride. Perhaps they will one day. Mm. That would be nice. Now that Knott's Berry Farm has animatronics... Maybe you could have some, too. Maybe make a Merida-themed ride. I don't know. You don't pay me to think of these things, Disney. You have someone smarter than me who's getting paid to think of this.
But a Merida ride, that would be
cool. That would be cool. Because I know they won't do anything without an IP. It'd be cool if they just added, like, a bear on it or, like, some more nature stuff. Some cute, like, baby bear scenes, like in Hong Kong Disney. The Big Thunder ride.
Their version of Big Thunder, which is not called Big Thunder at all.
No.
But, if you watch a ride through of that, the animatronics.
Yes.
They do a very simple story, which you have to know a little bit about Chinese culture in that,
like numbers,
seven,
yeah.
Seven is a very unlucky number. Okay, I could be wrong, but I believe it's seven.
Yes.
Which is funny, because here it's a lucky number.
Yeah.
But, they accidentally get on the number seven train track.
You're heading towards the number that means, like, life but or, like, good luck, but you really go on the one that's, like, bad luck.
Right, and then a bear switches the track, so then you go...
Because it's scratching its back.
Yeah, so then you go backwards and all this crazy stuff happens, and there's... It's really good. Anyway, highly recommend.
You could just take that, put that on Grizzly Rapids, or, you know, or do Merida if you have to do IP, or make a new Brother Bear.
No, thank you.
Then there's the best section, Disney Daddy's favorite section, Bountiful Valley Farm, celebrated California's agricultural history. Now, Michelle,
yes.
If I told you there is literally a fake farm that they are passing off as a land, what would you tell me?
I would say, you're joking, right?
Yes, surely I jest. No, I do not jest, Michelle.
Oh, boy.
So where Bugs Land was, where Marvel Land will be... and part of that, it's that there, and then part of the front of Cars Land.
Oh,
because that used to be a parking lot. Where Cars Land is was a really fun parking lot to park in that not a lot of people parked in. And it was the only parking lot that you could go in where you could kind of easily walk to the front gate of Disney.
Oh.
It was a little back corner. And, you know, so when you exit the 5 freeway, when you're coming from the south, and it tells you to exit on Disney Way, if you kept going, it would take you to that parking lot.
Oh.
So it's where the buses come in and out. You used to be able to go in there and park where Cars Land is, and it was the best place to park. But yeah, so part of that, and so in Bountiful Valley Farm, they showed a display of crops and plastic animals, including plastic cows. There was a Caterpillar tractor history section and a display of the latest monocles. The latest models.
Like, monocles?
The pinnacle of edutainment.
Yeah, it was monocles.
Monocles, yes. It felt very Epcot the way it was described. I don't really remember. I remember seeing Bountiful Valley Farm and they had a big mural. I don't ever remember going to it.
I remember being in it and walking around because I was like, I want to see all of it.
Yeah, I want to experience everything.
And I was like, oh, this is a thing.
There was also a gardening and supply shop, Santa Rosa Seed and Supply, which sold actual gardening equipment. So you could actually go and buy some, like, seeds or, like, a hoe or a rake. Or I don't know if they had a rake, but they had little... That made Dale laugh.
Get you a hoe at Disneyland.
So you could actually buy, like, seeds and stuff. It was fine.
Oh, that sounds
fine. You couldn't ride the tractors. You couldn't go in them. You could take pictures on them. You could look at them. You could admire them. You could talk to your Caterpillar spokesperson. And then it was ironic because I can't even say that word. The tractor model.
Caterpillar?
Caterpillar. They're made in, like, Illinois, I think. They're not made in California. So it was just random that they picked them. But yeah, it was literally, and I think they grew real fruits and vegetables. I don't think it was like Epcot where they used them. Maybe they did. I don't know. I couldn't find that in my research. But yeah, it was literally a land of farm and fake animals and just farm.
Wow.
But you were telling me how Disney Daddy really liked that.
Yeah, according to Yesterland, they said that he really liked that area a lot. Like, it was his favorite section, and he really liked the tractor photo op.
So if you want to celebrate the spirit of Michael Eisner,
sure.
Go to that section.
Which is now, or will be, Marvel Land.
Yes, will be Marvel Land. So every time you're in Marvel Land and you're on one of the Marvel-themed rides, I don't know what's official or not yet. So
I have no idea what's going on in that land.
Let's assume there's like a Spider-Man or Captain America ride.
No, let's think positively.
Okay.
There's an Agent Carter section.
Okay, in the Agent Carter, when you're wandering through the Agent Carter shoot 'em ride, just think that where you get kissed by Captain America at the end. Just think that this was Bountiful Valley Farm, and you could be buying seeds right there instead of this awesome ride. So next up, we have the Golden Vine Winery, which celebrated the wine industry. So this is kind of still there. It's that when you, it's across from Marvel Land, where that's going to be. There's, I forget, I don't know what they're calling Marvel Land, but you know what we mean.
Marvel.
There's that kind of like wine room, that like stone building, and there's that restaurant behind it. So there's
it's now the Blue Sky Cellar.
Yeah, it's like four benches and like a, you know, 5 foot screen, and it used to be like that was considered an attraction in quotations. So it was it had a film called Seasons of the Vine. It took viewers on a journey through wine production in California. And in the room was called the Barrel Room, where you watch the movies, and it was staffed by Robert Mondavi-trained wine ambassadors. So my mom probably loved it. I think she went there, because she was going with me at this time. So she probably went there, and she loves to collect wine. So she's just like, tell me about this wine. I'll have to ask her later if she ever went there. So yeah, that was just a whole section about wine. I think you got samples of wine, but that might have come later. I know at one point you could get wine samples there, but I don't remember at what point that was.
I got wine samples at Ralph's the other day.
Oh, good. You're Ralph's representative?
Yeah.
Because at that time, I was not old enough to drink, so I don't know, like, the wine.
You're old enough to drink if you're brave enough.
That's true.
Just
you
kidding.
Ask for it.
That is
no.
A joke.
That is a joke.
Do
Michelle's
not drink
a dirty liar.
Age.
Don't drink until you're 30.
That's right. Don't kiss until after you're married.
Wait, like 10 years after you're married. On
That's
your 10th
right.
anniversary, you can hold hands.
Each other.
Yes. Don't listen to Dale. Dale, who's joined us. Dale, who's wrong about everything except the electrical light parade. And what was the other thing I said he wasn't wrong about?
Vitamins.
No, not vitamins. No, not your white trash water.
How dare you?
Wow. What was the other thing?
I can't remember, but yeah, Dale's right about
two
things.
I guess just one
thing. Just one thing, electrical light parade. So next we have San Francisco Land, which later became the Bay Area. So right now this is just, so by the Little Mermaid ride, there's those row of houses.
Oh, where Judy and Nick do meet and greet.
Yes. I think it's like Embarcadero something now. And so where Little Mermaid is, there used to be a show called California Dreams. It was a film presentation opened by the one and only Whoopi
Goldberg. Because the height of her popularity was the early 2000s.
Yes, early 2000s. She was also the highlight of Superstar Limo.
Yeah.
She was the superstar of Superstar Limo. Like, she was the only character that spoke on that ride. So the entrance to the theater was a replica of the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. So the Little Mermaid ride entrance is the exact same building. They just painted it white. Mm-hmm. But that's it's the exact same shape of that. So that would lead you... So that whole ride is in an old movie theater. Not old. It used to be a movie theater. Mm-hmm. It's an improvement. They definitely improved with Little Mermaid, even though that kind of took away from the theme of California and that has nothing to do with San Francisco. And now San Francisco land is, like, itty-bitty.
Yeah.
You know... It's fine.
It's fine.
Because, you know, the mermaids, Little Mermaid's from San Francisco. Ariel's a San Franciscan.
Yeah, that's true. She works in Silicon Valley, but commutes from San Francisco.
She commutes, and she's Danny Tanner's oldest daughter that they don't talk
they
about.
They don't talk about her.
Because he only wanted girls with blonde hair, and he saw that redhead, and he's like,
get her out of here.
Cut it out. So the 22-minute film depicts the immigrant experience to California, showing many different characters and the hardships they faced. Apparently, it was, like, a really beautiful film, and it, like, showed a lot of, like, discrimination and things that people who immigrated to this country, specifically through California, had to deal with. Immigrants from China, Japan. I think there's a character who's from Japan. I know they talk about Cesar Chavez a bit, like, but the best part is, Whoopi Goldberg is interwoven into all these stories, but she also interacts with the characters. A large mural covered the outside of the theater, depicting Queen Khalifa welcoming people to California. And Queen Khalifa, I guess that's her name, was the basis for California.
Oh.
And then inside the theater, there were two large statues on either side of the screen of the Queen. And then once the movie started, the statues turned into Whoopi Goldberg. And if you look at pictures, it's literally her face on the statue. I don't know how they did it because it didn't look like her before. And it's just like, Whoopi.
Oh.
It's magic. Disney magic.
Sure.
I never saw the show when it was on because it never looked that
good.
But
why? That's...
It sounds like a bummer.
Yeah. review by Dale Drum. It sounds like a bummer.
Write that down. Somebody write that down.
It never looked that good. It was 22 minutes. By the time they closed it, it was 2008. I was, like, 21 then. Like, no thanks. Hard pass. So Whoopi appeared throughout the movie, as I said, and interacted with the characters. At one point, she points to some gold and says, "What's that shiny thing?" to some prospectors. There's, like, some characters going through some hardships, and she's like, "Things will get better," like... I don't know if she was in costume or not. Like, at one point, I think she's eating an apple, and she's just talking to people. Just like, "I'm Whoopi. Hey, what's up?" But, like, apparently it was a very beautiful film, a very honest film. Like, a pretty, not unflinching entirely, but, like, it got real for Disney.
Oh, well, I mean, bravo, edutainment.
Yes, and people were saying if this was just a short film without Whoopi Goldberg, it actually probably would have been, like, a pretty good movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Go see it.
Now I do kind of want to see it.
Yeah. I'm sure there has to be somewhere somebody filmed that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because it was around till 2008, so people had...
They did have cameras.
They did have cameras.
Video cameras.
Camera. Am I saying that correctly?
Camera.
But yeah, now it's Little Mermaid Ride in San Francisco.
Which is... As far as rides go,
yeah,
it's fine.
They did get a lot of the edutainment because there was a big strive for, as boring as some of the stuff was, there was a strive for edutainment.
Uh-huh.
Like Bountiful Valley Farms, edutainment. This Golden Dreams, edutainment. California Screamin', edutainment. About the physics of roller coasters.
Oh, sorry. What's that one? Manseca.
Oh, the tortilla. Oh, I'm getting to
that. Yeah.
That's in the next section.
Ooh.
So, Cannery Row, which later became the Pacific Wharf. So, that's that area where it's, like, the food courts. There's the Chinese food place, the Mexican restaurant, and the soup place.
Where you get mac and cheese bread bowls.
Where I get mac and cheese bread bowls and my road bread.
Yes.
My Mickey Mouse road bread. So, in there, now pause for a moment of silence, please. We're going to remember the best thing that has ever been invented by mankind, the Mission Tortilla Factory, sponsored by Mission Foods. In this location, you could get fresh... So, this is where Ghirardelli is now.
Mm-hmm.
The travesty. I mean, Ghirardelli's good, but this is no Mission Tortilla Factory.
Oh, boy.
So, you could get fresh tortillas after a fascinating history... after learning a fascinating history of the tortilla, hosted by children giving a report. It was called The Story of Tortillas. So basically, you would go in, and these children were giving a report about tortillas, and then they say the famous,
Manseca.
Yeah, which I think, is that a brand name?
I have no idea. I think it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. And then you'd go into, like, the doors would open, you go into this other room, and then there were,
And it was cool, they used, like, Pepper's ghost effect in these little dioramas.
They would have these little small windows, like, tiny, like, probably a foot high dioramas of women making tortillas. I'm sure it told a story. I never watched it, because I just went on through to the end.
Oh, I watched it once, where to, you got, like, do it.
So, at the very end, you would get, they had two sides of the, factory. So there was a left hand and a right hand side. The left hand, they would make flour tortillas. They had like a fresh conveyor. It's kind of similar to the Boudin bakery that's there now. Mm-hmm. And on the right, they made corn tortillas. And there was the pure joy of going in. And on the left, and only one side worked. They never were both working. And they were doing the flour tortillas. And it was delightful. And if it was your birthday, they would give you a free bag of tortillas. And that was the best day of my life, Michelle. But then... the exact opposite
Speaking
of that.
Of bummers.
The exact opposite that some days, cue sound music, on the right hand side, they would be operating the corn tortillas. And you'd go in and you'd see it and you'd hope maybe they switch sides, Michelle. Maybe they're not having the they move the flour to the right. No. Then they would give you corn tortillas.
I will remember you.
Flour tortillas. And then sometimes they'd try to give you a bag of corn tortillas. And then if you'd go towards the end of the night, or sometimes if you just asked nicely, they would give you, or if you're a fat teenager, they would just give you a bag of flour tortillas. So outside there was a cylindrical storage unit outside the building that they were really tall. And the left contained 14,000 pounds of corn flour and the right contained 15,000 pounds of wheat flour. And the bakery tour, which is across the street, is still there. That changed a little bit, but it's still kind of the same idea. But the factory, the show is exactly the same with Rosie O'Donnell, but they kind of changed the factory layout a little bit.
Are those Rosie O'Donnell videos still there?
Yeah, they're still there. Because we were there, Jenny and I were there yesterday, and they're still playing them. And we were talking about how weird it was to see, like, Rosie O'Donnell from 20 years ago and Colin Mochrie doing these videos.
Wow.
And they feel like they used to give you bigger pieces of bread, and then now they just give you a little bitty bit of bread. But yeah, I would just like to talk more about how much I'm sad about the flour tortillas.
Go
not
for
being
it,
there.
Girl. Let it out.
Like, I cannot express to you walking in that. So you go through the first room, the doors would open. Go through the second room, go to the third room where the factory is, and the right was working, which meant, and it smelled of corn tortillas, and you just saw a lot of sad people. Because I know some people like corn tortillas better.
I can't tell the difference.
But majority of people, I would say, like flour tortillas better.
Dale, do you like flour or corn tortillas?
Well, it depends on what it's for, right? Like, flour tortillas are for, like, tacos and burritos and stuff like
that. And joy.
Yeah, corn is, like, taquitos and...
Yeah. But it was just... I'm not talking about, like... Yeah, some... Like, there's a lot of food that tastes better with a corn tortilla, but yeah. I mean just eating the tortilla... corn tortilla. And I'm sorry if this offends anybody. I know corn tortillas are more authentic.
Why would your opinion on what you like to taste
maybe
better...
Maybe people like corn tortillas better. I like Electrical Light Parade better, and that offends people.
Doesn't offend people.
Oh, it does. It was just like, there's a few things in my life that will mean as much to me, and Jenny understands this, as the flour tortillas in there, right? And I was so sad when they closed it. But now, they used to, back in the day, DCA, when it was your birthday, you got a lot of free stuff. Like, when you went to Boudin's, they would give you a free cookie. They would give you a free bag of bread, a free bag of tortillas. A lot of the restaurants would actually give you free stuff. Because they were trying to get people to go to DCA, and then they stopped doing that eventually.
Uh-huh.
But I was just so sad, and I just want... I go to Taco Bell sometimes, and I just get tortillas, and I pretend. I'm not even kidding. I really go through, and they're like, you want 5 flour tortillas? And I'm like, yes. And if you don't believe me, ask Leslie, my mom, and she will tell you that's true.
I keep thinking that whenever you say Leslie, because you don't say my mom, you're just like, I was hanging out with Leslie. I'm like, who?
Leslie the Taco Bell lady.
Yeah. I'm like, who?
Our podcast fan, Leslie.
Oh. Hi, Leslie.
But it just was like, I know, and Jenny was like, you should make a video about the tortillas and just play sad music.
Oh, please do that and make it like not sepia tone, but the, like that bluey black.
And me
thing.
Standing like over the, like looking into the water and just like sad music.
But
and,
you're
like,
crying tortillas. Crying tortillas.
But did you ever experience that tortilla factory?
Yes.
It was amazing.
How else do you think I know Monseca?
Did you go to the left-hand side and then... Oh, I guess you said you can't tell that... Oh, you're excited about some music that's playing?
It's my Frontierland favorite music.
Yay! So In 2007, Bob Iger announced a $1.1 billion makeover of California Adventure, thus ending a glorious era.
And it still sucks.
Of DCA 1.0. So, yeah, then they, you know, redid the front area. You had to go in through the side. Then they redid, they built Cars Land, I think in conjunction, or that was first. Way before, I think the first expansion they did was Bugs Land.
Yeah.
And they got rid of part, they kept part of Bountiful Valley Farm, but I think they got rid of most of it. And yep. Then It's Tough to Be a Bug, that was where Bountiful Valley Farm is. That's where the mural was. And then, yeah, Pixar Pier is obviously the most recent change.
Yep.
And Marvel Land, which is still coming. But yeah, this just all happened really slowly. Like, Hollywood and Vine was gone. Soap Opera Bistro was gone within 2 years. Superstar Limo was gone within 1 year. So it changed pretty quickly. So any last thoughts on original DCA, Michelle?
No.
If I could have it all back and have that tortilla factory, I would happily pay full price. I would pay $200 every time.
Why don't you just buy some tortillas?
Because they weren't fresh made with love.
Gosh. I got and to the walk- little boy. Guys, go online and find this video of these three kids doing this book report, because this one kid is like, Manseca.
It's like a dog, and like they had a dog, like a cartoon dog in the video, and the dog went, Manseca.
And it's really weird, but and that was these, my takeaway.
These awkward kids doing a book report, and one boy is clearly not paying attention. The girl is taking it much more seriously.
The boy is me, and the girl is Jasmine.
It's me. I think it would be fun if I could go in a time machine after we visit Epcot 1995. Uh-huh. I would like to go for just one day to see DCA, just to see it through the eyes of an adult versus what I remember as a kid, and just to be like, wow.
This is rough.
And go in Superstar Limo one last time.
Pretty rough.
So, yeah, Michelle is anti. I would just like to see it for one more day, but I also love kitsch. My thesis in college was on camp movies and cult movies. I like really cheesy stuff.
Well, here's the thing. If DCA 1.0 was anywhere else in the world, even if it was not, I would like it.
Yeah.
I would think it was cheesy and fun. But for Disney, it doesn't.
No. I would like to visit it one time and maybe twice. And then keep the tortilla factory forever, and then that's it. Can people send me fresh tortillas? I like El Torito Grill because they make tortillas.
Where's that?
It's a restaurant chain. Oh. So there's El Torito, and then there's El Torito Grill, which is the fancy version.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, like how Panda Express and Panda Inn?
Yes.
And Panda Inn's the fancy version.
Oh, I didn't know there was a place called Panda Inn.
Yeah, it's fancy and really good.
Where is it?
It's nearby.
Oh.
It's like 15, 20 minutes from here.
Can we go there for bar mitzvahs, weddings? Special occasions.
Absolutely. I love that place.
Okay, we're going to go. So I wanted to talk about our Patreon. So this time I waited till the end. So a special thanks to Wynette, Lauren, David, and Danny. We had a fun Google Hangout like a week ago.
Yeah.
And we talked with Lauren and Danny mostly. And we found out that no one watches 30 Rock.
Nope.
But everyone watches Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Cheddar!
Yay! Cheddar! So yeah, if you want to join our Patreon, we do bonus episodes, we do Google Hangout once a month, we'll send you a postcard from Disneyland. These are obviously all different tiers. It's as little as $1. We'll send you our tiers for $1.
That's right.
But yeah, go on to Patreon and look up 1313 Harbor, the podcast. Separate 1313-1 Harbor, space, Harbor, space, the, space, wait. Podcast.
Okay, so it's 1313
space. Harbor, space,
the, space, podcast.
Wait, do I type space?
No, you don't type space, Dale. or go to patreon.com/1313harbor, the podcast.
No spaces.
No spaces. And you could also type in www.patreon in this case.
But if you don't want to type www, you can just go to 1313harborthepodcast.com.
Which is our website.
And you can find a link to our Patreon there.
Yes.
As well as a link to our Instagram, Twitter, and email address.
Yes. And also you can listen to our episodes there. But it's better to subscribe to either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from.
Wherever
books are sold, because then you get them automatically.
Automagically,
yes, you do. So yeah, our Instagram is 1313harbor the podcast. Our Twitter is 1313harbor. Our email is 1313harborthepodcast@gmail.com. Send us requests, send us fan mail. Please write and review on, I don't know if you can on Spotify, but do it on iTunes, please, if you have time.
Google Play.
Google Play. There's other things. I applied for, like, iHeartRadio, like, 50 billion different other things. So we just wanted to thank you all for listening. Thank you to all of our patrons. Thank you for people who like this, the people who write us, people who just click play and are annoyed by us. We love you so much. And all who come to this happy podcast, welcome.